I want us to get ready to pray in just a moment. I want to just share a few words with you. I want to encourage you in the Lord tonight and just kind of lay out a plan as we pray over these next, we have two nights left. And so, well, tonight and then one more night, tomorrow night. How many are going to try to be here tomorrow night? Well, I just want to make sure. Thank you for being here. It's going to be an amazing, if this is what happened tonight, who knows what's going to go on tomorrow night. So you don't want to miss it tomorrow night. So get something to write down with. I want to walk you through on really praying for people that won't pray for themselves. I want to talk to you about praying for people that won't pray for themselves. E.M. Bounds writes a lot on prayer, and E.M. Bounds said these words. Jot this down. He said, talking to men about God is a good thing, but talking to God for men, that's a great thing. That's what we're doing tonight. We're talking to God for men tonight. I want to give you a key verse about praying for people that aren't going to pray for themselves. And it's from the life of Abraham. And I want you to write this verse down because this is such an important verse as we get ready to talk about, as we get ready to go into prayer. Elder Raphael from our New Jersey campus, and we're going to have also David O. Thompson, Elder David, is going to begin to pray and lead us for those cards tonight as we get ready to hand out those cards. The key verse is Genesis 19:29. I want you to write that down. And this is what it says. But God listened to Abraham's request. That's his Wednesday night prayer meeting. He listened to Abraham's request and kept Lot safe, removing him from the disaster that engulfed the cities. That literally prayer was part of the rescue. That maybe I could say it to you this way. Lot's future and eternity depended upon Abraham's prayer life. Think of that for just a second. That's exactly what you read. He was praying for someone that didn't even pray for himself. I want to ask you a question here tonight. This is important for us to even come to this conclusion. If someone's eternity depended upon your prayer life, what kind of future would they be facing? Think of that for just a moment. If somebody's future, like Abraham praying for Lot, I know that's a heavy question, but this is so important. I want you to think about it this way. In Acts chapter 12, the question that I was reading today, as I was reading Acts chapter 12, I kept thinking of this. Does Peter get released from prison if the church doesn't pray for him? Think of that for just a moment. Does Peter, because the Bible is clear in Acts 12 verse 5, Peter was kept in the prison, and this is important, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. See, Pastor Patrick talked about that fervent prayer in James chapter 5. Listen to the rest of it. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, that means that he was going to face execution, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. How many know you've got to have the peace of God if you're sleeping on the night of your execution? That's the peace of God. There's been other things that have kept me up. I would have been up all night on that one. But he was sleeping so soundly. Listen to this. He's bound with two chains. Guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared and light shone in the sun. And I love this. And he struck Peter's side because Peter wouldn't get up. He was sleeping soundly. That's called the peace of Christ that passes all understanding is what that is. He struck Peter's side, woke him up, and said, get up quickly. And the Bible says his chains fell off his hands. This is amazing because it seems that God connects Peter's chains falling off, Peter's rescue from prison, just like Lot's rescue from Sodom, with prayer. See, that phrase in Acts 12:5, but prayer, that's the turning point. Because when Elder Raphael and Elder David come up, that's the turning point. It's going to be, but these people are addicted to drugs that you're going to read on a card. This person is living on the streets. This person has walked away from God. My son has turned into an atheist. I've read them all. Last night, I don't have it with me. Elder Chris, who prayed for Summit, sent me a great card last night. He said, Pastor Tim, I want you to see the card that I got, and someone said, pray for my twin sons that God would ABC them. That's what he prayed for. It was a great card. So we're praying that those twin sons, God, right now, ABC them right now in Jesus' name. See, think about this for just a moment. Never underestimate the power of a praying church. Never underestimate when a church begins to pray. Because with every card that you're going to get tonight, we're going to be able to write over those cards. But prayer was being made on their behalf. That changes everything. Thomas Watson, the great Puritan writer, one of my favorites, says this: the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. That's what got him out. Prayer was the thing that brought heaven down. See, prayer and deliverance are connected. Your prayers and people's freedom are intertwined. How many know someone that are here that needs to be set free from some bondage? Anybody here that you know somebody? How many know someone in your family that needs to become a Christian? Would you raise your hand? All of us do. Cindy and I pray for certain family members every night. We've been lifting them up to the Lord in prayer. I want to challenge you over tonight and then tomorrow that I want you to continue to take those steps of writing down those names. And I want you to join us as we begin to pray even tonight and even each Wednesday night with Pastor Carter. Because I believe that their deliverance is going to be connected to the prayer meeting. Even what we're talking about, a harvest of 1 billion souls, is going to be connected to prayer. It's got to be a praying church. Here's the story I want to give you quickly tonight from where that verse came from in Genesis 19. Just a quick synopsis, and then we're going to get ready to pray tonight. Here's the story. It's Abraham and Lot, and you know the city that God brought him out of. It was Sodom and Gomorrah. How many have heard of that city? Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's a quick overview. In Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot separate ways. Lot chooses in Genesis 13 to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's in, this is going to be important in a few moments. That's 2085 BC. I'll explain that later. 2085. And this will have this significance. And the Bible says that after Lot had separated, this is very interesting. I want to give you a quick side note here, that God then spoke to Abraham when Lot left him. I think there are some times you've got to get the voice of other people out of your life so you can hear the voice of God. There are some people that are noisy and distractions that are blocking the voice of God. And this is what the Bible says. Listen to it. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, look at the next phrase, after Lot separated from him. Now lift up your eyes, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, the eastward, and westward. And that's when he tells him, I'm going to make your descendants like the sands of the sea. Look to the sky. It's going to be like the stars. But he never heard that until he got the relationship out of his life. Because there are some people that are calling for, that literally, they call for your time, energy, and resources and are taking you away from doing what you're supposed to do because every day with them is a production. And it's almost as if God said, I got to get rid of him so I can really tell you what I'm going to say. And you have to examine it. We all have to examine those kind of relationships. And that's what becomes so important. Their story picks up again in Genesis 18. And while Abraham is outside, three visitors show up. The Bible says that it was two angels. And just stay with me for those that may be new to the faith. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. He's called the angel of the Lord. It was Jesus. Some of you are going like, really, in Genesis? How many know that there was a fourth man in the fire in the book of Daniel? That was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, that Jesus was coming already. It was these moments that he was coming. So they show up, two angels and the angel of the Lord. They show up to tell Sarah, who is 90, and Abraham, who is 100, that they're going to have a baby. And while they're leaving in Genesis 18:16, Abraham is walking with them off and saying goodbye to them. And the Lord stops at that moment and says, we can't do this. We can't judge Sodom without letting your servant know. So as Abraham is walking, think about this. As he's walking with Jesus, God not only gives him, I want you to get this. Because when you walk with God, you don't just get miracles like the baby. You also get insight of what's about to take place. That's when you walk. This is when you come to a prayer meeting like this. You're making a decision. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk with him. When you open up the Word of God every day, you're saying, God, I want to walk with you. When you pray each morning, I want to walk with you. You not only see miracles, you get insight to what's coming. And that's exactly what God does. He says, how can we keep this back from Abraham? So he shares it with them, and they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham remembers, wait a second, way back in 2085, my nephew Lot chose that awful place to go to. He's in an awful situation right now. And then in Genesis 19, where we read that verse, Lot is not just living there. He's involved there. It is now 20, here's the date part. It's 2067, and this is what I want you to get. At Genesis 13 and Genesis 19, it's 18 years he's been living in Sodom. And God just goes, enough is enough. And Abraham remembers, my nephew is there. And I've got to start praying for him. He's in a place he's not supposed to be. How many know people like that? They're in a place they're not supposed to be. How many know that some of your friends that you've raised your hand for is that they don't get out of that place, that it could be the end of their lives? And that's why we want to pray for them tonight. It's praying for someone who's not even praying for themselves. Lot's not praying for himself. And here's what's amazing. That all of a sudden, that key verse again, God listened to Abraham's request. That's what we started off with. And kept Lot safe, removing him from the disaster. God listened to Abraham's request, not to Lot, because Lot wasn't praying. So that means Lot's deliverance was through Abraham's relationship with God. He didn't even have a relationship with God because he's living in Sodom. And that's why I want to challenge you today, that when you have children or spouses that we're going to pray for, that we're going to believe that God is going to just begin to bring miracles, it's going to be your walk with God that literally can become their deliverance tonight. And that's what I want you to understand, how important this is when Elder David and Elder Raphael come up and lead us in prayer tonight. This is so important. So I just want you to get this, this will just take me a moment, because there's two people here that you see. You have, number one, you have Lot, the one to be prayed for. That's the prayer card. That's our card we're praying for. And then number two, it's you. It's Abraham, the one who has to pray. So you have Lot. Those are the names we're going to pray for. And then you have Abraham. That's you tonight, TSC, that's going to start to pray for these names. Let me just for a moment, it's going to be like bullet points, that I want to just talk to you about the characteristics of this man, Lot, who's deep in bondage. Because I want you to think about some of these names and some of the people you're praying for, how deep they are, whether it's deep into atheism, deep into drugs, deep into bondage, deep into making money, deep into all these things, and you're thinking, is there any way out? Lot is the perfect example. Let me just give these to you fast, because I want you to keep him in mind. That is this. In Genesis 19, the Bible says he's sitting at the gate. That's a big deal. That doesn't mean that you're just sitting in a doorway. It means you're in leadership in Sodom. To sit at the gate means you are in a government role. That's what that means. You'll see that all over the Old Testament. Number two, you know what's scary about him? He's not adverse and he's not against spiritual things. Because when the angels show up, he doesn't curse out the angels or run away. He welcomes them and begins. There are people that we're praying for that really are messed up because they're not against the church, but they're not giving their heart to Jesus. Those are people that really need a miracle. I can deal easier with someone that hates God and hates the church because I know what I have in front of me. But when you have somebody that kind of is in both worlds, you're going, okay, this is some big deception that's going on here. Then he has impaired judgment. Just write that down, impaired judgment. That when the men of the city come and they want to knock on the door and want to rape the angels, think about this. This man says, no, you can't rape these angels, but you can have my daughters. That's what he says. You're going like, seriously? What is that? Let me just tell you this. Sin has no wisdom attached to it. You don't think wisely. And then finally, he has no sense of impending danger. Look at the exchange between him and the angels. It says this, when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, up, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, or you're going to be swept away in the punishment of this city. But look at this, angels are talking to him, but he hesitated. Folks, I'm just telling you, if some guys with wings on them are telling me to get out of New York City, I'm going to say to all of you, bye-bye. I'm going to tell you that right now. It doesn't take much for me. You got guys with wings and you're hesitating? What's wrong with you? Look what it says. They even have to seize him by the hand and the hand of his wife and his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. Look, folks, where did that compassion come from? That's Abraham. Somebody was at a Wednesday night prayer meeting praying for him. For the compassion of the Lord was upon him. So they brought them out and put him outside the city. And then it says when they had brought them outside, this man still doesn't get it. He said, they should go escape for your life. Don't look behind you. Don't stay anywhere in the valley or escape to the mountains or you'll be swept away. You have a wife that looked behind them. But Lot said, no, my lords. And the wife, she went ahead. You're saying no to angels. Your wife looks back. This is a train wreck of a family. And here's what do you do when all of a sudden you're faced with all of that? I like what Charles Stanley said. Write this down. The shortest distance between a problem and a solution is the distance between your knees and the floor. What does that mean? You got to pray. So what do you do when I have a nephew who's all messed up? He's in a place called Sodom that's about to go under punishment and bad things are going to happen. What do? You do exactly what Abraham. That's number two, the one who prayed. This is very fast. And then we're going to pray. This is what happens. This is the strength of prayer against the depth of this man's deception that you're going to see on these cards. This is what it says. Abraham got up early that morning, hurried out to the place, I love this phrase, where he had stood before in the Lord's presence. But God listened to Abraham's request. It says, he looked out across the plain toward Sodom and Gomorrah, watched as columns of smoke rose from the cities like smoke from a furnace, and God had listened to Abraham's request and kept Lot safe, removing him from the disaster that engulfed the cities on the plain. Two quick thoughts. Number one, I see the consistency of prayer. It says he went to the place where he stood before. This is so important for us because really he didn't wait. Get this now. Abraham did not wait for smoke to pray. He's already been praying. He's not waiting to see, oh, he's arrested. Now I'm going to pray for them. But all of a sudden, he realizes it's the consistency. I keep going back. This is the way I see it, folks. I think if we can keep every day, as Cindy and I pray for these family members that we're praying to be born again, this is the way I see it. It's like a sledgehammer. Every day you come and strike at the concrete. And folks, can I tell you, one day it cracks. Now, which was it? If it cracks on swing 35, was 35 swing 35 like have this extra force to it? No. It was all the swings that were beating on that concrete, that hardness that finally opens it up. That's what prayer does. So when you continue to bring those names before the Lord, when you continue to bring those family members, that's exactly what's happening. And that's why this is so important that we're praying. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, brief prayers are the best. It's not about length, it's about strength. He says, that's what you want to do. So when we pray tonight, man, I would rather you be consistent and be strong. And even if it's short, but every morning when you get up, God save my husband, God save my son. Every single, don't wait for smoke. Do it every single morning. And finally, I love the confidence of prayer. And this is where we're going to get ready to close. The confidence of prayer. Look at verse 28. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the valley, and he saw the smoke of the land, and the smoke ascended like a furnace. This is what I love. Despite seeing the smoke, it doesn't say after seeing the smoke, he got nervous, worried, doubted God. Smoke didn't mess him up. Smoke didn't bring doubt. It really was this. God's got this. God's in charge now. Abraham was the one who really realized God's got this. I put this before the Lord. It's like the great reformer said, Martin Luther, write this down. Pray and let God worry about it. Pray and let God worry about it. Here's what's amazing, folks. Abraham has no idea what's happening away from his eyesight. That's what's amazing. He's praying and has no idea. Angels have been dispatched, dragging him out, taking his daughters out. He has no idea what's going on there. He's just on his knees praying. There are angels pleading, grabbing his hands, drawing. And that's how it happens. Verse 27, Abraham prays. Verse 28, he sees smoke. And verse 29, God just says, I've heard your prayer. I got you on this. That's the miracle of all this. When it's all said and done, final verse. When it's all said and done, did all of this work? Did all of it work that when God rescued Lot and brought him out of Sodom? Our job is to simply pray. We let God figure it out. We let God dispatch whoever he's doing, his witnesses and his evangelists. Lot never thought about praying, but Abraham does. And when it's all said and done, Lot makes it. And the New Testament remembers him like this. This is what blows me away. Did it all work? Okay, this is the New Testament talking about Lot. The Bible says he rescued righteous Lot. I read that. I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. This must be one of those demonic versions of the Bible because this man. But here's the problem with that passage. In 2 Peter, he calls Lot righteous three different times. Can I just tell you? It worked. God didn't just bring out a guy that was in the middle of a gate in Sodom. God said, I turned him into a righteous man. That's what God did to him. God was able to do something. My job is just to pray. So here's what our job is tonight. Our ushers are going to come down and we're going to hand out those cards tonight. As they're coming down, you're going to receive cards. You're not going to know the whole story. You're going to get cards in your hand. You're going to be able to read names. And I'm just going to tell you, it was tough for me last night. Some of them are hard to read. It's okay because the people are writing quickly and some people are writing a bunch of them and throwing them in the... That's okay. You don't have to know the story. It may just see a name. It may just say, save my niece or save this or save this person or this person's in jail. They need God. So as you get those cards tonight, I want you to hold on to them. I want you to get ready. On some of those, there's people that need to be saved. And on some of those, there are people that need to be born again. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to begin to pray for those. I'm going to ask, can I get a card up here? I want to just show you what I want you to get ready to do tonight with these cards. So as you're receiving a card in your... Can I get another one? I can't even read this. I have no glasses. This is. I'm sorry, Michael. You're way younger than I am. Oh, this is good. This is like really big writing. It says, I'm 55 years old. I have no job, no steady income. And the Lord, he said he must return to the Lord. This is a person, he said, this is a person that we need to pray for. Wrote his name down. And said he must return to the Lord. And he needs to surrender his life. And there's the name up here. And this is me being going like, I'm the Abraham in this. I'm going to pray for this gentleman that's not praying for himself. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Here's what I want you to do. And can we have some cards for our band members? As our workers, our band is coming back up and our singers, I want them to get cards too. Because we're going to begin to pray. Here's what I want you to do tonight. Take a look at that card. Get familiar with your card tonight. Get familiar with it. Look down. See the name. See the situation. Some of it, my card is, I'll just say his first name starts with L, needs to have a surrendered life, needs to come back to the Lord tonight. So what we're going to believe for, Raphael, Elder Raphael, I think are you praying for the healing or the salvations tonight? Healing. Elder David is praying for salvations and prodigals and people to come back to the Lord. So as they begin to lead us in prayer, some of it's going to be for healing. Some of it is going to be to come back to the Lord. Your job is this. You're Abraham and this is Lot tonight. And here's what we're going to believe. God is going to hear our request. Just as he had chains fall off of Peter, how many are going to believe for chains to fall off tonight? Just as God remembered that prayer and rescued and drug Lot out, I want to believe that the name I'm praying for tonight that starts with the letter L, I want to believe that they're going to go from Sodom to righteous tonight. I want to believe for those names to go from. So this young man that needs to return back to the Lord, I'm saying, God, make him righteous tonight. So as we get ready to stand, let's all stand together. I'm going to ask Elder David and Elder Raphael to come up. And we're going to start praying for these prodigals. We're going to start with Elder David O'Thompson. And I want you to get ready to pray with us on this. They're going to pray. We're all going to pray. And then we're going to do something, one more thing before we get ready to close tonight. But I want us to believe tonight for the Holy Spirit just to come and do that. Come on. As Pastor Patrick said, this was Pastor Patrick. Every voice counts. So as Elder David starts to pray, lift those names up out loud. And let's believe that as you pray for those, you can hold the card up. If you remember the story, hold the card up. But let your mouth begin to announce, God, I'm believing for deliverance. Get them out. Let chains fall off. Take it from Sodom to righteousness. Sodom to righteousness. Sodom to righteousness. And let's believe for a miracle. Come on. Elder David's going to pray, and then Elder Raphael is going to pray.